resources and thinking to help us to have good times of quiet with God, based on Psalm 62, but we've ranged through a lot of scriptures the last 3 weeks and now tonight. So Psalm 62, verse 1, "For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock, my salvation, my fortress. I shall never be shaken." We've talked about the fact that it is a vital component of us being strong in our faith that we learn how to have good times alone with God. We need times together with God, but we also need good times alone, personally, with God. And that's a lifelong journey of learning how to enjoy those times with God. The intimacy that comes, the refreshment that comes, the fulfillment that comes, the strengthening that comes. Some of that is together, some of that is very personal. And using those times well is part of what it means to be a disciple. Learning how to have a relationship with God like Jesus had, growing into that kind of relationship that he enjoyed so much. So the last 4 weeks, for those of you who've been on holiday and traveling, I hope you enjoyed that. But we have covered a number of other things, including the motivation for our quiet times, including how to deal with boredom and bewilderment in our quiet times, which we talked about last week, when life sometimes is boring and sometimes it's bewildering. But those actually can be catalysts for extra special times with God. But we talked about that, I think, last week. All the classes are online. They're on the website. All the handouts are there, and various other handouts, the slides, and a few other extra things. I do have with me tonight physical copies of the last set of classes, including two bonus resources, one being the article by Andy Bowachi I talked about last week, who wrote an article specially for us, actually. Just I asked him if he could write something, and he quickly put something rather profound and excellent together. I have a few more copies of that. And tonight also, I have a 5-page article on prayer in the Bible with me by one of the teachers of the Philippines Church in Manila, Roland Monge, who's a friend of mine. And he also has written a really good, interesting book on the Psalms, but we don't have that with us here. But I do have an article on prayer, and I have a few copies here. And I've put a PDF on the relevant page for this lesson, which is already up online on the Thames Valley website. So you can get all those extra resources. And I'm going to continue to post more resources about quiet times and spiritual disciplines, and you can keep your eyes on the website, the Facebook page for those as we go along. Because I do feel, as much as I feel weak, often, and inadequate in my own relationship with God, in my own personal times with God, nonetheless I have a strong conviction, as I'm sure we all share, that we all need to have those healthy times with God personally. And that's a lifelong journey of growing. And so let's devote ourselves to continue to learn from one another, from God's word, and from whatever resources we can get, how to have those meaningful times with God. So that's what we're all about. Now, here's a thing. Tonight, what I want to do is this. I want to do three things. First of all, consider what God has already shown us in the last few weeks. Secondly, confirm our biggest convictions from this series. So we need to be asking ourselves tonight, what's the number one thing that God has shown you? Maybe there's a number of things that have impressed you or struck you as important, but what's perhaps one thing you can take away, perhaps just one thing from this series that can bless your relationship with God? And thirdly, well, clarifying what questions remain. What areas in our relationship with God are still to be investigated and for us to still to grow in? That's what we're looking at tonight. Now, some of you may know that my wife is a very keen bird watcher. She is an ornithologist. And if you're a keen ornithologist, you have a good pair of binoculars. And my wife, I was a bit of an ornithologist when I was a teenager. When I was 13, I actually bought my first pair of binoculars. It cost me £30, which was a lot of money in them days. I haven't bought a pair of binoculars since, and I haven't had a proper pair of binoculars. But my wife got back into bird watching herself in the last year or two. Her parents are both very keen, and her stepmother. And so she's got back into it, and we bought her a really nice pair of binoculars about 2 years ago. I mean, they are lightweight, they are powerful, they look the part, she looks great. And I I'm not that interested, but I walk with her and she's always looking at the birds and I'm just standing there accompanying her. So I thought it was time for me to get a proper pair of binoculars. So last Wednesday, we went to a really good place where you can buy these. And this is a good second-hand pair of binoculars. They're 8x42s. They're made by Opticron, who are a very good company. And they are amazing. I mean, compared to the pair I bought back in 1970, whatever it was, these are amazing. I mean, the pair I had before were twice the size, twice the weight, and nothing like as clear. And these are brilliant, and I really like these, and I now carry them on my prayer walks every morning, just in case I see a nice little bird to look at while I'm praying. So that's what I do. And my wife last weekend was at the bird fair. There's a bird fair, a UK bird fair, every year up in Rutland somewhere, and there's 8,000 people. They call it Glastonbury for bird watchers. Thousands of bird watchers in a field, usually in the mud. We've kept with marquees and talks and things and all that. She was there with her dad last weekend and she came back and she bought me a present. And the present was this shirt and it has a bird on it. You can see, right? So she bought me this shirt. It's a mosquito repellent shirt. It's got like impregnated stuff. So, yeah, serious stuff. And it has a bird on it, right? So I'm now walking through the park in the morning with my prayer ties, with my bird shirt on, with my binoculars on, and I feel like a real bird watcher. Except that I don't really know much about birds. And I look the part, but there's a difference between me and my wife, and it's actually not just the knowledge. The difference between me and my wife is that she has a passion for it, which leads her to curiosity. So she reads magazines, she reads books, she watches television programs, she goes to Glastonbury for bird watchers. It's because of her passion for it that gives her the hunger and the curiosity, and she keeps learning. Now, I'm happy to learn, but I'm not on that. I'm not a real disciple in that way. And the difference is not how much we know. The difference is in the curiosity. And I want to encourage us as we think about our relationship with God, that the thing is not about how much you know. It's not how much Bible you know. It's not how long you can pray. It's your curiosity to grow that really matters. And so if you felt like in this class series, maybe you felt like, oh, I should be much further along by now. Oh, I struggle with the basics. Or, oh, I've really been struggling and I've been bored in my quiet times. And, oh, I'm sure God isn't happy with me. The issue is not where you are right now. The issue is just capturing the heart of wanting to grow, wanting to learn, wanting to progress, wanting to develop, wanting to add things to your spiritual life. So that's what I pray you've taken out of this class series. Whether you're a really keen bird watcher or not, the point is to be curious and hungry, to have a passion to learn so that we can move on together. Okay? So that's the heart of what we're dealing with here today. So, oh yeah, there she is. There's my wife being serious with her bird watching, with her really nice binoculars right there. So, now we're going to take a short break from me speaking, and we're going to be thinking and talking together for a few minutes. What I'd like us to do is to think about this one question and talk about it together for a few minutes, and then we'll have a little bit of sharing and a bit of Q&A with the time that we have left. So, what one change in your times of quiet with God, what we call a quiet time, would bring you the most joy? What one change? What one thing? Perhaps there is a number of things, but just pick one. What do you think might be the one thing that if it was to change in your times with God, when you're alone with God, whether it's with the Bible, a spiritual book, prayer, whether you're just meditating on God's word, but whatever you're doing, what one change might bring you the most joy, taking you forward in getting deeper with God? Can we discuss that for a few minutes? At least. My ideas, yes.
That's a bit silly, but I said to Karen, my ideal thing would be to be able to Skype God and see him and speak to him that way. But that's not going to happen, so I think my next best thing is to read hymns and things and Yeah. You know, that helps me to be more spiritual.
Reading hymns. Mm. And you raised that last week, I think, wasn't it?
I mentioned
that as an idea last week or the week before.
Yeah.
Yes, using hymns.
Yeah.
Using hymns you know, using hymns you don't know.
Yeah.
Somebody else's poetry. Right. You don't have to be able to sing them necessarily,
yeah.
Right? You can just read the words. Because
yeah.
They are really prayers. Mm-hmm. They're only prayers set to music.
Yeah.
So I like that idea. I do that from time to time. Thank you.
Do you like the Skype one as well?
The Skype one I haven't tried. We can get God's number. Put it on the website. Good. Thank you very much. Other ideas. What sort of things might help us to move forward? What's on our minds? What's on our thoughts? Yes.
We're thinking of silence, just being able to be still in our souls in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And just as you pray, as you read your Bible, thousands of thoughts are flitting back and forth.
Right.
But just wanting to be still.
Being still. Physically still, mentally still,
in a way.
It takes some training.
Yes.
One of those things that takes time to develop, actually. Okay, good. Thank you. Some stillness. Ian?
I think for me, and I was just chatting about it now, it's just to bring more joy into my quiet times.
Uh-huh.
Is those epiphany moments. I love those little moments where you take a difficult passage, one that doesn't necessarily make sense to you, and then you just either you Bible gateway it. What I mean by that is you take that a person's name, let's say it's a character study, and you then see where that person appears throughout the book.
Uh-huh.
Not just the chapter, but the entire Bible. For example, let's say Balaam,
mm-hmm.
his involvement throughout the Bible, and why he appears. Because initially I saw him as, what was the problem with Balaam? I mean, he seemed to be doing good stuff. You know, he wasn't cursing at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was more kind of blessing the Israelites from all the mountain points. So how come he ends up to be such a bad guy? And then when you go through Revelations, James, and Numbers, you see why.
Right.
And so it's those epiphany moments when you think, wow, that was so amazing. You know, that's wow, I didn't know that's why. I mean, it kind of just brings a little bit of excitement.
Yeah.
A different angle as to
I love that.
Most of the scriptures and how it can bring more joy into
you. So you're looking
life.
For an insight. You're looking for something for God to reveal. It might be that you need to pray about something more.
In your case.
It might be reading.
Yeah.
It could be piecing some bits together in the Bible. Having a project.
Yeah.
There's something I like about, there's some things I study in my Bible that are just ongoing, you know, like whatever, something. But then there are other things that are a project. And you learn something specific and then it helps you spiritually. Good stuff. Okay, what else might help us with this? Mika?
You just mentioned project. I really love the School of Missions things because you really get much deeper into a subject and you get the idea. Also, I think whenever I promise to prepare something for others, so if I want to do a talk or a communion or something, that the motivation is there.
Mm-hmm.
You want to learn. You want to get the most out of it.
So it's helpful, isn't it, sometimes to have something to prepare for others, as long as we then take it into our quiet times.
Mm-hmm.
So that happens to me from time to time, and it's happened several times the last couple of years where I've preached on Psalm 62 this year, and Psalm 100, was it this year or last year? And preparing those services and those sermons helped me as I took that text into my times of prayer. And I pray about it or sit there silently with it in front of me, just meditating on it. It helps because you know what you're trying to achieve there and letting God soak you in it before you take it to somebody else. Super. Okay, a couple more. Jonty?
So I think something that would definitely help me is quite similar to what Ian was saying, but just having that kind of like purpose, and I think sort of something like when you said project, that's the sort of thing that kind of drives me, you know, I can see this is what I want to get out of it, this is what the goal is. Something a friend of mine said to me when I was a young Christian was, he said, every time you have a quiet time, think of how you might be able to teach this to someone.
Mm-hmm.
So that this will be useful one day when you have to do a class. And just sort of brought much more of a kind of focus to me when I was a young Christian.
So you can pass it on.
Yeah, it's just kind of, I guess it helped me think that this is not just for me, this might help someone else as well.
Mm-hmm.
One day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I might be able to use this to share.
Right. So there's an overflow.
Yeah.
Helps me, but it's an overflow to somebody else as well. Was there a hand back there somewhere? Did I see? No, it's just the spirit telling me. Someone. Okay. All right, Karen.
Okay, I was going to say the silence one, but I just thought of another thing that really helps me is, and it's bizarre, it's when I have doubts about something. So you know how Jehovah's Witnesses will come out of the room and I'll have a good conversation with them. So it's sort of, okay, is Jesus really God?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll just delve into that. Or is baptism really important? And I'll delve into that. So it's when I have like doubts about whatever I believe, sort of thing, it just helps me dig deeper and think into
who Super. And I think it's so helpful to have a stimulus, a catalyst into helping us to go deep. One thing I'd add to that, not to contradict anything you just said, but to add to it, is though important that we don't approach our Bible study for just information. Right? We're talking here about transformation.
Yeah.
Now, information can be helpful towards transformation, but the point of our time with God is transformation into Christ-likeness. So taking what we're learning into, consciously and intentionally, into times with God to reflect on these things, with Him together, is very important. In addition to learning these things as well. One more, or we'll move on. Alex, go ahead.
Kind of following on from what Ian said, I sometimes find that these moments where I see something clearly are bringing a lot of joy to my quiet time. I think it's because that's where I feel like I get the biggest glimpse of the passion that you were talking about, because it will then motivate me to go and have quiet times kind of with a lot more excitement going into them. Like sometimes, you know, it can be more, you know, you're busier, you feel less up to it. But when I have those moments, it often has a lasting effect throughout a week or a few days.
Yeah.
It actually motivates me and excites me and stuff like that.
Yes, it lasts. Isn't that wonderful when you latch on to something in your relationship with God, something that you've prayed about, something you've read, and it carries through from day to day, and you know that there's something there that God perhaps is helping you to focus on, and so you're learning something very specific. Well, we're not got a lot more time here tonight, so part of the purpose in what we have just done was not to discover something now, although that's helpful if we did, but it's to remind us that when we have class series like this, we need to reflect personally on what does this mean for me, and what can I take out of this. This is not the last time we'll be talking about our relationship with God and our times with God, but maybe this is the time at this time for you to remember one thing that will help you make progress, that will help you to grow in your relationship with God. I want to leave you with one thought as we conclude this. You may struggle with this kind of feeling from time to time, that you know where you are, but your mind is elsewhere. I don't know if you've had that experience in your prayer time, in your Bible study, that you're physically there, but somehow your attention is elsewhere. How are we going to more consistently get our attention in the right area? Let me give you a brief mini lesson from Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is a wonderful psalm. It's at the beginning of the Psalter for a reason, because it introduces the entire book of Psalms. I've got the first four verses only on screen there. I just want to share a brief thought about them. Happy are those, or blessed is another translation, who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Five S's for you from this short passage. You can write this down if you like, and then think about it, pray about it, use it for your own times with God. If we're going to be people that grow in our relationship with God, first of all, we need to be separated. We don't follow the advice of the wicked. We don't take the path that sinners tread. We don't sit in the seat of scoffers. We are deliberately separated from the ways of the world. Separated not as in taken away from the world. We are in the world, just not of the world. So we decide that we will not follow the rest of the world. That's our first step. If we don't decide that, then the rest of our prayer time isn't going to go very far. We're deliberately going a different way. Secondly, we're saturated. Blessed is the person whose delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law they meditate day and night. We soak ourselves, we saturate ourselves in God's word. We are a people of the book. Not a people of the book in a legalistic sense, but a people of the book in the sense that it inspires our way of life and transforms us. We saturate ourselves by reflecting on the word. We spend time in silence with the word on our lap, looking at the word, thinking about the word, praying through the word. We saturate in the word. It's the only way to transform our minds, realistically. Thirdly, we then become situated in the right place. We become like trees planted by streams of water. The word there in the Hebrew implies the idea of being transplanted. We were somewhere else, not in such a good situation. We've now been planted in the right place. And we have, in Christ, been planted in the right place. Streams of water. We remember the fact that Jesus said that streams of living water would flow from him. We have the Holy Spirit. We have that fresh living water in us. We need to live off that. We are now in the right place. How lucky we are to be in the right place. Gratitude that Jesus, because of what he has done, has put us in the right place, will help us. And then we know that we are safe. The wicked are not safe. They are like chaff that a puff of wind will blow away. But we are those who are rooted in the right place and in the right way. And we are safe by those waters which will not run dry. And therefore, we will yield fruit. We will be successful. Successful in the sense that God makes us successful, the way that he views success, that we grow, that we learn, that we become more Christ-like, we become more useful to him in this world. Five simple thoughts from the first few verses of Psalm 1. I would encourage you to reflect on this, because I think if we understand this, then we end up being more secure in our faith. We end up being more confident in our relationship with God. We end up knowing how to be fed, how to grow, how to be nurtured by God. And we can be more confident of God using us to produce the fruit that he wishes to produce in us, which of course might be slightly different than we wish or expect, but that's okay. That's God's department, is to decide that, and ours is to enjoy it. We are so lucky, you know. I think sometimes we forget how lucky we are to have this direct relationship with God. People of the Old Covenant, like the person who wrote this psalm, could only begin to dream at the kind of relationship that we have.
Yeah.
And yet they understood. Yeah. He or she, whoever wrote this, understood the significance of being planted in the right place. Yeah. I just want to encourage us to not ever get downhearted about our relationship with God. Yeah. However you feel like your prayer is, or your Bible study, or just that sense of connection with God, you can grow. You can learn. You can be transformed. You can move on to greater maturity. I hope these classes have been helpful in this regard.
Yeah.
Let's never stop growing. We are those who've been built and designed by God for God alone. Mm-hmm. For God alone. He is our God. He is our treasure. How lucky we are. So God bless you, and I hope this is helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.